All right, hello everybody. This is episode 66 of the podcast Add This to Your List. And this is a special episode because we are together live in person in Candlewood, or at Candlewood Lake.
We were in Candlewood Lake earlier.
We were on a boat earlier. It was very fancy and nice.
The water was very cold, though.
It was, but it was, and the weather kind of got a little crazy, but, you know, we like to roll with it. So we are, two out of our three co-hosts of the show are here. The third, Fumi, is
somewhere.
I don't know where she is, honestly. She's traveling somewhere.
Where in the world?
Wherever you are, Fumi, let us know.
Yes. If anyone sees her, just make sure she's okay. Let's go down the line and introduce ourselves, starting with
Tom Chuba, one of your fabulous co-hosts.
Tom's husband, Jeff.
Mark's husband, Greg.
And Mark J. Parker, again, one of your co-hosts. Thank you so much for listening, guys. So, we are going to... This is a fun episode because we are going to go through some interesting news headlines real quickly. We'll run through some fun stories. Then we're going to get into our list of brand new stuff that we're all watching, loving, maybe hating. And then we will wrap it up with a special segment all about Pride Month because it is about to be June. And you have four queens, well, five if you include my dog Cal, all right here. And we want to talk about, you know, different LGBTQ movies, TV shows that had a lasting impression on us. And we want to just discuss that and you know, give them a shout out because it's Pride Month, baby.
The 50th anniversary since Stonewall, bitches.
Absolutely. World Pride is coming up. We were listening to Carly Rae Jepsen on the boat. We are feeling ourselves. We are all the shades of the rainbow and our sunburns.
That's our title right there.
Oh, there you go. So Greg's about to fall asleep. No. So the party is about to begin. So guys, real quick, Tom and Jeff were just away. You want to quickly, we haven't talked in a while. Tell us how your trip was. Where'd you go?
Alaska.
Ooh.
Much like, doesn't Sandra Bullock say it just like that? And what's
the movie
with
Brian? Oh, The Proposal.
Yeah, The Proposal.
That was good.
Sitka,
that was a fun one.
Alaska. Yeah, no, we went on an Alaskan cruise that left out of Seattle. Beautiful. It probably is the most beautiful place I've ever seen, but I say that about a lot of places.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. Jeff, you liked it?
It was beautiful. Yeah, we spent a couple days in Seattle, too. Great city.
Is Alaska the state where it's like sunny for most of the day and then dark for most of the, is that Alaska?
Days in the summer, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In June, you will have close to 24 hours of sunlight.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then in December, the reverse, close to 24
God,
hours
depression.
Of darkness.
Yeah. My God. Yeah. 30 Days of Night. Remember that scary
movie
in Alaska?
Hartman,
yes.
Yeah.
That was good. Yes. Okay, cool. Well, while they were in Alaska, Greg and I were around just chilling.
In the Maranick.
Yeah, just in New York, you know, hanging out. Actually, I was able to see some good theater. Quick shout out to Network on Broadway. It's not a list item because it's about to close, but wow, I am excited to see that win some Tonys, baby.
Is Bryan Cranston going to win the Tony?
I think he will.
Wow.
He's fantastic. Tatiana Maslany from
Orphan Black
is in it, and I can't believe she was not nominated. She was fantastic. Monologue, orgasm. I'm just going to leave it there. Anyway, okay, so let's get into some quick little housekeeping updates. So, ladies and gents, the last time we chatted, we were talking about the big, you know, upfronts that were coming up, and we went over some pilot scripts. Out of those three scripts, Tom, your scripts and I were not picked up.
I know. Fumi was on to something. I think someone paid the bitch.
I know. Fumi, if you remember, Fumi had the evil script on CBS. That is a go. But I had Lost Boys, and Tom had, was it Famine-in-Law?
Friends-in-Law. Which was already retooled as a pilot.
Right.
And this time they had gotten Michael Urie to star in the pilot, and it didn't go.
And yeah, Lost Boys is being retooled, so I guess they love the script, which if you remember, I loved it, but I guess in the execution it did not, you know,
Said it might not.
Yeah.
And Fumi was concerned about Catherine Hardwick directing.
And I guess it did not work. So yeah, upfronts were some big news. Basically, you know, as we know, some cancellations, some, you know, renewals. Whiskey Cavalier, as of lately, was kind of on the bubble there. It was canceled, and then I guess fans were really fervent in their interest in it. But ABC has officially decided to not bring that back. Empire's coming back for just one season.
Oh, it's the final season?
Yep, coming back for final season. No Jussie Smollett as of right now.
Well, he was in the promos.
Well, he was in the promo for the finale that we watched. Yeah. But he is apparently not coming back for the final season. So, yeah. But anyway, let's move on to... Oh, and of course, other TV news. Game of Thrones ended. Jeff, do you... Like, we don't... None of us care, but do you want to say any parting words to Game of Thrones?
I didn't think it was as bad as what a lot of fans said.
Oh, yeah.
It,
so, yeah, this final season was...
I would have liked it to probably continue longer, but...
Let me ask you. Yeah. What interests you about Game of Thrones? What's the appeal?
The character
development.
What's
the development? Attraction? What's You know, the,
the draw.
The draw?
The jeu de vivre.
Like, the writing's amazing, the character development, you really cared for these characters, and it's you know, I think just very well written. Great action. I think the visuals, it's very much like a movie on a, you know, HBO. So, but I think that's why a lot of people were disappointed with the last season, is because character development was so spectacular before. And it just fell apart, some people felt.
Interesting. Yeah. So, but you were satisfied?
I was satisfied, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I've heard a lot of mixed things. I mean, again, you know, you couldn't pay me to watch it, but...
I did actually watch
you did watch some.
Battle of Winterfell episode with
I don't know
Jeff.
What that means, but
that
okay.
was they were. It was an hour and a half episode where they battled the Night King, which is essentially zombies in the world of Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
It was a masterpiece of an episode. Yeah.
Oh,
like
wow.
Visually
yeah.
beautiful.
Did you hear that? Tom's turning to the dark side.
No. I will never be a convert, but...
Oh, God. Well, you'll hear a little bit more. My good friend Melissa, who is a fan of the podcast, she later on will give her two cents about the final season and finale, because it does seem like a lot of people were really, you know, both sides of the fence. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So, yeah, that ended. Biggest ratings ever for HBO, so whoop-de-doo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ever.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ever. So good for you. I guess, you know, no Sex and the City 3, but we have Game of Thrones. And then.
Bigger than Angels in America. Wow.
Wow. I mean, okay. It is the Pride episode.
I guess we
Bigger
know.
Than Looking.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bigger than Looking?
Jesus. Oh. Do not shit on Looking.
All
I love
you need
that
is
show.
Five gay guys sitting in a room watching that. I will also say there was an Alaskan show called Men in Trees.
Oh, my God.
Starring Anne Heche.
Yeah. What about it?
Well, we were talking about Alaska.
Wasn't that on, like, Fox or something?
No, that was ABC.
No, it was ABC, yes.
Anyway.
And it has a 48% on TV Guide.
Okay, well, yeah.
How many seasons?
Ooh, I think
season?
One
more
full
like,
season.
More like one full episode.
I think it was given one full season.
But anyway, last little bit of news that I thought was interesting was... What are you trying to
this
say?
Is blocking.
Well, I was looking and then I put it down. Sorry, listeners. Greg is
cut.
Directing.
Greg is three sheets to the wind.
But no, Spielberg has been a topic of interest on this podcast. And real quick info: did you know about this, Tom? That Spielberg produced the show Bull, TV
I had
show
no
Bull.
Idea.
No one cares because Bull's on CBS. Sorry, but he was producing it, and because if you remember, I think we talked about it on this podcast, the lead actor—I'm blanking on his name. Maybe you can look it up. The lead actor of Bull, Michael something, had harassed Eliza Dushku, Queen
Ooh,
Eliza Dushku. I know. She's the best and should be in everything, and how dare he? He was not cool with her on set, and she, earlier this year, it was announced that she was able to leave the show and got full payment, so you go, girl, and I'm sorry that happened to you. It was just renewed for another season, and Spielberg is pulling out of producing it. He does not want to produce a show with a predator as... the main star, and that's Michael Weatherly. Thank you.
Oh, yes. From CSI.
Yes. He's the lead, and he apparently made Eliza feel extremely uncomfortable. Wow. Touched her or something. Oof. So Spielberg is not taking that and is, has left the show, and now there's a different producer. So, you know. Yeah.
Eliza Dushku from Watertown, Massachusetts, where
yes.
I used to live.
Yes. Greg and Eliza go way back.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But let's get to the real breaking, well, not breaking, but real headline. And that headline is, y'all, Robert Pattinson is going to be Batman. Wow. What do we think?
I thought it was a joke at first.
I thought it was
I saw it discussed on Facebook, and I was like, oh, this is a joke.
I didn't think it was a joke, but I definitely thought it was one of those things you read that's like, okay, this will be refuted tomorrow. Like, this is just a rumor. What do you guys think? It's
is
official.
Is it the Batman script that Ben Affleck wrote and was originally supposed to star in?
It might be.
I think it might be.
It might be. Wow, I don't know. But he is officially the new Batman. What do you think?
I actually don't care.
Okay.
That's fair.
Now, do you not care why? Do you feel because, like Batman is like...
Because
are you a fan of Batman?
I do like Batman, yeah. But the thing is that I don't care who plays him.
Because you don't plan on watching.
No, like, I don't remember the Ben Affleck era at all.
Oh, well, yeah. we didn't watch
no,
those
I
movies.
No, I don't remember the Ben Affleck era at all. But
what,
I do...
What
I,
Batman do you associate with? Like, what actor?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The original. Yeah. Well, yeah. I say the original, but yeah, the original
yeah.
movies
yeah.
from...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think whatever...
Not even Christian Bale.
No.
Okay.
I think it has to do with who you're... Like, who the Batman is when you're going through puberty. I think that's what it is.
Oh.
Fair.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's like coming of age and... But I also think that Robert Pattinson was so good in Good Time.
Good Time, yes.
That,
great movie.
I actually I want to see him do so much more.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Like, he's a fantastic actor
yeah.
from what I can't remember if I've seen him outside of anything other than Twilight.
Mm.
Which
you
know. You
got to see Good Time.
Oh,
I
think
it know, it was on your list.
Yes,
I know.
Yes.
I've never seen that.
I think it might
oh,
be on Prime.
God,
it might
good.
Still be on Prime.
Oh God,
and
so
he's
good.
In High Life, which just came out recently, a weird like trippy space one. But...
And then that movie at was it where did it just premiere? Where it has excellent reviews, The Lighthouse. It's
oh yes,
to be
of
really
course.
Scary
yes.
with he and Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe.
It's like a black and white horror movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Directed by the guy that did The Witch, which Greg didn't like. I loved. You guys haven't seen. You guys haven't seen. So yeah, he's definitely an interesting talent. What do you think, Jeff? You think he's going to be a good Batman? Do you think we need another Batman?
My gut reaction is I don't see him, maybe because I associate him so much with the Twilight movies.
Right.
I don't see him as Batman.
He seems kind of young, but I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. What do you think, Tom?
I think, you know what, they might as well give him the chance. He just, he seems so skinny and scrawny
to me. Yeah,
that's
like his build is kind
so,
of
but you know, Michael Keaton
off.
Wasn't really huge
that's
back in
true.
The day.
Yeah.
And like... Even
true,
like, you know,
true.
George Clooney, I mean, you know, in the 90s, I don't know. I think Christian Bale and Ben Affleck, we think of big and bulky Batmans, but I feel like Batmans of yonder years were not super bulky. I don't know.
Only time will tell.
I think it'll be interesting to see him, but honestly, I just need a break from Batman. I don't think
we
need Batman.
It's, yeah, it's
right?
too much.
In the most recent years, we had Christian Bale for a while. That was like great Batman stuff. Then Ben Affleck, I haven't seen any of those movies, but I heard that wasn't so great. Why not just, like, take 5 years off of Batman, right? Let's just, like, take a break. But I guess we're not going to get that, because then the Joker is coming out with Joaquin, so we'll see. But good for you, Robert. You know, we'll see how it goes. And with that, shall we get into our list?
We shall.
Let's do it. All right, Tom, lead us off.
All right, first thing on my list is the movie Brightburn. Speaking of superheroes, I thought
yes.
it would be a nice transition.
There you go.
So it's been pitched as Superman gone evil, Superman gone horror, right? Essentially follows a family in the middle of Kansas. They're trying to have a child. Elizabeth Banks plays the wife of the couple. They can't conceive, and so one night in the middle of the night, a spaceship crashes in the middle of their Kansas home field. They go out, they find a baby, they raise him, everything's all fine and dandy, but then when he turns 12 years old, he decides to go batshit crazy, and we have more Damian than we do Clark Kent.
Oh, okay.
Interesting premise, right? Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Banks, really talented actress, she makes really interesting decisions, but guys, the execution of a concept that is really good just does not work, and I'm gonna say skip that shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was really interested in this, Tom.
So, you know me, I love horror, and the film is incredibly gory. But and one of the gore scenes actually is shot really interestingly, like we've never seen before. It has to do with somebody having something in their eye and trying to figure out where the stalker is. Very, very interestingly done. But the rest of the gore in the whole movie actually seemed really mean-spirited and unnecessary
just
to me.
Just dark and no
just
fun
for
no, to
yeah,
it.
No fun, no reason to be that gruesome. Elizabeth Banks looked like she was, like, half-heartedly trying
really?
To play her part. Yeah, I just... The concept, A+, the execution, a D.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was a quick 90 minutes, too. It's not like it even overstayed its welcome.
Interesting.
Jeff thought it was okay.
I thought it would have been a better movie if they gave more, like, another 30 minutes to it. Like, they should have given more backstory.
It needed a little more time.
Where he came from.
Yeah, you have no idea, like, where he came from, why he's evil. He's obviously an alien, but,
they don't
explain nothing of that.
Well, can we say things about it? Like, do you usually give away?
I don't know if there's anything to say.
But essentially, he was sent to take over the Earth, essentially.
Oh.
But you wanted to know more. Like, why? Where did he come from?
Oh, is that what you took from it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it was completely lacking. He had no backstory. He didn't really know.
He just switched when
he turned a certain age.
I wonder if they were waiting for a sequel to, like...
Oh, there's
going to
be no sequel given its box office numbers.
Yeah, it's not doing so well.
It has a 59% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is 1.1 percentage point shy from being fresh.
Okay, yeah.
No idea what critics saw in this. Yeah, I just don't get it.
Yeah, I did see a lot of mixed reviews, but
And even just some things like the script was lazy, like... You know, Elizabeth Banks's sister, her character is a big player in the movie. Her husband passes away unexpectedly. So you think that Elizabeth Banks is going to be at her sister's house, like, supporting her, right, for the fact that she just lost her husband in a gruesome death? No, she's, like, at home just painting a picture of a cow. Like, so, it's just, and, you know, like, you know, the father sees the kid, like, literally chew a fork up where it's bent in all different directions, doesn't even, like, decide to tell his wife, like, hey, honey, the kid just, like,
chewed. Something we should be concerned about.
Yeah, really lazy... plot holy kind of
I know
things going
James
on there.
Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy fame, he produced it.
Yes.
I don't think he didn't direct it. No, some other interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So unfortunately I can't just overall messy.
Were you
I really
scared
wanted
at all?
To like
Were you
it.
Scared at all? No. Nothing no. nothing.
Oh,
suspenseful?
The diner scene that I was talking about where that was a little
creepy. Gory.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's a gory, superhero movie.
Yep.
Interesting. I mean, I guess good try to do something different.
Yeah, A for effort.
Okay. Wow.
But good news is the second thing on my list, and I'm struggling here because I'm having heartburn from the pizza we just had. The second thing on my list is a really, really good ad. I mean, we call it a resounding ad whenever we have something like this, and that is Chernobyl on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
And the only reason why I found out about it is because Mr. Jeff over here watches Game of Thrones. Otherwise, I wouldn't have heard of it because you didn't really know about it.
I had no idea this was even did you know it was on HBO right now? No.
But apparently the ratings are really high, and everybody on Facebook who I'm friends with is talking about it.
Wow.
So it's kind of catching on, I think.
Okay.
It's a 5-episode miniseries, so this is, you know, a one-time deal. And if the name didn't clue you in, it is about the Chernobyl nuclear disaster that happened in Russia in 1986. Fantastic, guys. I can't say enough about this show. The writing is so good. It is so suspenseful. The score, the music is just so... It keeps you on the edge of your seat. The acting is phenomenal. You'll recognize a few faces. Emily
Watson.
I kept wanting to call her something else.
Yes.
But You've seen her before. She's in it. She's very good. I even think Stellan Skarsgård is supposed to be in it, but I can't tell who he is.
Oh, yeah. I think he's...
He's one of the main characters.
He's, like, made up a bit, but that's him.
Oh, he's in makeup. That's why I can't. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The guy that plays Mikhail Gorbachev, really good. I will say two things that I don't like about it. The first is that, and I understand it's a British production, and they're all British actors, or most of them are British actors, but they speak with a British accent. So you hear, you know, someone say, we need to get some iodine pills instead of, like, where do we find iodine pills? So, yeah, it just doesn't seem hard or far-fetched for me to have them do Russian accents. And so that was just an odd creative decision to me. And I said I had two problems with it, right? What is the second thing?
Yeah, you talked about accents and then...
Oh, okay, here's another thing that just isn't great. It's one of those shows where even though it's super intriguing, you never learn, like, a character's name
kind of thing,
you know what I mean? Like, where you're following these characters, but you're never really sure
when
what their names
are. Yeah, the guy with the glasses.
Yes.
And you're like,
yeah. So that's always interesting. And, like, when you read the synopses, it's like, Ludmila stands at the grave of her husband, and it's like, well, who the fuck is Ludmila, you know? Like, that would have been helpful to tell me who Ludmila was.
Ludmila!
But other than that, it's three episodes in, two more to go. No, that really is her name. Because I was looking it up
on Wikipedia. But two episodes to go, and I just can't say enough about it. It's it's really, really good, and it is definitely timely. There are definitely political undertones to it, where the producers and directors are trying to make a statement about, I think, modern American politics. And I think, overall, I think the show is an allegory for and about global warming.
Global warming.
Having to do with, like, science and the role of science, deniers, the role of deniers. There's just a lot of parallels to global warming.
So interesting.
Totally.
And would you say it's, like, kind of suspenseful, or are you never really... Like, you know.
Oh, no, it's super suspenseful.
Oh, okay.
Super
so
suspenseful.
It's historical and suspenseful.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right.
Does it take place in 1986?
It sure does.
Did you miss that part?
Well, no. He was talking about the Chernobyl accident of 1986, but I didn't know if this series took place in 1986 or if it was like people who came back.
Oh, no. It's like when the event happens.
Because, you know, American Horror Story Roanoke, they came back.
It starts 2 years
current and present day to see what happened in the...
It's a period piece.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Right.
Okay, cool. So that's an ad.
Yes.
Nice. All right. Jeff, what do you have?
So I have a concert, a musical concert we went to. We went to go see Pink at Madison Square Garden in New York City.
Yeah.
She was phenomenal. Total add to your list. She is such an amazing performer. She has it all. She's an excellent dancer, acrobat. I mean... She started the show doing Let's Get This Party Started, she was hanging from a chandelier, doing twists and turns, and it was just phenomenal. And she's singing the whole time, keeping in tune, and just incredible.
That's amazing.
You know, very heartfelt moments with her slower songs, and you know, just an amazing time. Tom and I were up dancing with her friends, and
we just had
a wild time.
When was that? You saw it this week?
This week, yeah.
That's
we saw her Wednesday night.
I feel like she is always on tour.
Yeah.
Always,
always...
We bought
these
tickets like a year ago, right?
Yeah.
When we saw her a couple years ago, we bought them like a year in advance, and we saw her in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah. So she's keeping up with the crazy acrobatics and
completely, yeah. She did it a couple times, and yeah, she did a lot of the recreations of performances she's done before, like for the song Cry. She did a performance on American Music Awards and in the video. She did that, and it was amazing.
Cool.
Can't say enough about it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something?
Well, my first concert was Pink.
Really?
That's true.
Yeah, my first concert was Pink. It was in Boston at the Orpheum, and it was on May 31st, 2002, I believe.
Whoa,
throwback. And it's crazy that she's still touring and still selling out stadiums, and I know that she holds the world record for the most concerts performed in Australia, which is crazy.
Wow.
And, we got to...
You met her.
Me and my friend Sabrina, we got to meet her. We went
backstage.
We had dinner with her band. Mm-hmm. We got to take pictures. Yeah,
that was
you eat? My very first concert. I don't remember what we ate. I think it was like hot dogs, beans, stuff like that. But I remember we were underage, and the bassist, or the keyboardist, whose name was Jason, I believe. He kept trying to like give us beer and stuff, and we were like 15 years old.
And did you drink?
No. We were too scared. I remember my mom was too scared to drive into Boston because it was like too much traffic because she's from Maine, middle of nowhere, Maine.
Mm.
And she was too scared to drive into Boston. So Sabrina and I took a train from...
By ourselves. Oh, wow.
Like 15, 16 years old from like the outskirts of Boston into downtown Boston and then like somehow got backstage.
Wow, what a story. Wow, the power of Pink.
Power of Pink.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, so Greg, since you just told us that lovely story about Pink, why don't you tell us a lovely story about what you're watching now?
Okay, so currently I'm watching a show on Netflix called, sorry to take the shine away from Fumi, who's the Netflix queen, but I'm watching a show on Netflix called Jailbirds, and I noticed that they have a lot of prison... like docu-series, but this one that I decided to watch is called Jailbirds, and it basically follows just the women in the prison. It's Sacramento County Prison, which you don't associate Sacramento with rough and tough, but these women are very rough and tough, and they do follow the men a little bit, but basically it's just a documentary about these women and their stories and what they're in for, and it sort of follows them from their journey in prison and then getting out of prison
And what's really funny about it is that all of these women seem to be on a path of enlightenment. You know, they all claim to be learning a lot while they're in prison, and they're reformed, and they're ready to get out. And they're talking about how, you know, they're not the same person that they used to be, and they got to go home to their kids and all this stuff. And then what's the wildest thing is that in the very next scene, they're like, I will fucking cut her.
So they've learned nothing.
They have learned nothing. They're like, oh, I will fucking cut her. I don't give a shit. I will fucking stab this bitch in the shower.
Literally that kind of language.
Yeah, and it's like, okay. So, you know, it's just, it's definitely an interesting show. I would encourage it. You learn about toilet talking.
Okay.
You learn about kiting.
Okay. What's I don't that? Know what either of those are, but...
Yeah.
What's kiting?
Kiting is when you send messages to people. Mm-hmm. And you can kite your CO, the correctional officer. You can kite anyone if you want. But it's basically sending messages.
How does one send a message?
Well, they fold it up into a piece of paper.
Oh, it's like written?
It's like written, yeah, like in high school.
Okay, kind of. I got it.
Yeah.
Old school.
Yeah. Mm. And and then I also learned that if you're pissed off at anyone, then you flood your cell, and it makes the...
Oh, yes, I've heard this.
The poo water...
Yes, I've heard this.
...drain down, and it floods whoever you're pissed off at.
But how do you
flood it by overflowing the toilet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, exactly. And that's the person under you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
So it chronicles these women's lives, basically, in the Sacramento County Jail.
How many episodes?
Ooh, no idea.
Probably what, haven't
finished it.
Are they an hour each?
No, 30. I think like 30 minutes or so. Yeah, yeah. Mm. But it's really good. And the most interesting thing to me was the toilet talking, which is where you bail out the toilet, so you have no water in the toilet, and then you bang on the bowl. It's a stainless steel bowl, and you basically try to see who's there, who else has bailed out their water, and whoever. Oh, you know, replies back to you. Basically, you're dating.
Oh, okay. Oh
wow!
That's how it works.
It's connection.
And then what they do is they will take like strips of fabric or whatever, and tie spoons around the strips of fabric, and then flush it, and then try to get the two. Then somebody else will do the same thing in a different cell, and they'll try to get the spoons caught and tangled together, and then that's how they pass different stuff to each other.
Oh, wow.
Huh. So you can pass kites, you can pass junk food to each other.
Oh yeah, they were eating out of the toilet.
Oh,
eating out of the toilet. That.
And oh, that's classic.
And one woman's like, I don't like to eat. I don't like to toilet talk because that gives you pimples on your face. You can always tell who's toilet talking because they always got pimples on their face.
Wait, really? Like,
oh, wow.
What gives them pimples? Dirty toilet water.
The poo
toilet
water.
Oh god.
Yeah. So, anyway, and also I would just like to say that they need better food options in that prison, because anytime they get their commissary, what is it called?
Oh, yeah.
They get money on their card or whatever it is.
Oh, right. To, like, their stipend. Yeah,
whatever it is. And the only thing they can buy is, like, Cheetos and honey buns.
Yum.
And all this garbage food. And they all look like shit. Anyway, it's a good show.
Cool. Okay. Well, would you say add that to your list?
Yeah, I would add it to your list. I mean, I think, you know, you don't have to sit there and like study it, but I would say you can add it if you're doing work on your computer.
Sure. Yeah. Sure, just to kill some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Background noise.
Yep. Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that. I'll wrap up our list. I have two items this week, two brand new movies. So the first movie is the, I would say, long-awaited feature film Booksmart. So Booksmart is the directorial debut of Olivia Wilde. So that's a kind of big deal. She is not in the movie. Well, I mean, it's a big deal for, like, you know, the film world. Greg's, like, rolling Greg his eyes, like, at me.
For whom?
For us.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, just
everyone's dying to see what Olivia Wilde will do.
Well, just be nice. She might be on the show one day. Anyway, so Olivia Wilde directed it. Oh. Yep. Did you just spill something? Yes. I'm sorry, everyone.
Sorry. We need a paper towel. Cut.
Oh, God. No, you can't.
Did it spill?
Yeah.
Greg.
Did you put it right next to our feet?
I don't know. Should we cut?
No, yeah, go.
Paper towel.
Well.
There's a towel
in the bathroom. Yeah, you do that while I
or
talk.
Or the one you used for...
We can keep rolling. Okay, he's going to do that quietly. Anyway, okay, so Booksmart is a directorial debut by Olivia Wilde. She is not in the movie, but her boyfriend, husband, whatever they are, Jason Sudeikis, he's in it. It's an all-star cast.
Oh, she's married to Jason Sudeikis?
Or are they not married? They're together. They have like a kid. You know, they're one of those families. But all-star cast, lots of great cameos. We had Will Forte and Lisa Kudrow are in it as parents.
Yeah, the parents, right?
Super funny. You know, it's a good cast. Here's the thing about Booksmart. I'll give a brief little, synopsis. So it stars Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein. Beanie Feldstein is actually the sister of Jonah Hill, and she was last seen in Lady Bird, which I loved. And I was hoping Booksmart would be a little more like Lady Bird. You know who I'm talking about, Beanie Feldstein?
Yep, yeah, she was Saoirse's best friend.
Yeah, she's super cute, very likable. I was hoping it would be a little more like Lady Bird. It's very much like Superbad. So this is kind of interesting how Beanie Feldstein is like literally following her brother's footsteps in like kind of a raunchy, crazy, teen comedy. But so it's the last day of school, senior year of high school, and Caitlin and Beanie play Amy and Molly. They're best friends. They're nerds. They've never really partied ever. And so on the last night of school, they're figuring like, why are we being losers and just staying in and, you know, doing nothing? Let's go finally do these big high school parties. And so they have a crazy, and I mean crazy, wild night on the town in their hometown in California, wherever they are. I think it's like somewhere in California. But they're going to all these different crazy high school parties. It's very wild, raunchy, silly. Billie Lord is in it and actually steals the movie. She's very funny. At first I was like, okay, we got it. But actually she's really funny. Also, the guy from that show on ABC, he kind of got in hot water. He's a gay actor. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, but I'll think about it. Hold on. I have it. And it is... Where is he? Hold on. I forget now. But he was in that show, The Real O'Neills. Noah Galvin. Do you know Noah?
No, I would think you would, Tom.
Yes. He's a gay actor. He's actually hilarious in this movie. Basically, long story short, guys, you will laugh a lot. A lot of it is so laugh out loud funny. I would say add it to your list, but it's kind of bordering on the edge of one and done.
Really?
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I had a good time, but I don't think I ever need to see it again.
Well, it's funny you say that because I feel that way about most comedies, actually.
Interesting. Okay. And maybe also most teen comedies, you know, this kind of, you know, subgenre of like end of high school crazy time. It's fun while you're watching it. You know, the audience I saw it with, I saw a screening a couple weeks ago. They were laughing and we all were, you know, going crazy. But I think because I wanted it to be slightly more realistic and it's kind of goofy and over the top and, you know, they're coming into the graduation ceremony late and you'll see how that happens. I don't want to spoil anything, but it's just all a little goofy that don't be fooled by the A24 logo, because A24 is very awardsy. We know that. This movie is not... It's not Lady Bird, it's not eighth grade, it's not saying anything meaningful, it's just a straight up goofy teen comedy. It is the female Superbad, so that's amazing, and I think everyone should see it, but I think I was expecting to be moved. You're not going to be moved whatsoever.
Okay,
yeah,
fair.
Which is fine, you know, I think I just saw that A24 logo and I just thought, ooh, like, this is going to say something.
Fact that one of the two girls is a lesbian, does that play a big role in the
movie?
Wow,
Tom
really?
Is like
I mean,
that.
It is our Pride episode.
Oh my god,
bitch.
Why am I surprised? Yeah, so what, thank you, Tom. What is cool is one of the girls is a lesbian, so that's pretty cool, and it's talked about in a way that is so normal and not
like
a big
you
deal
said
at
you
all.
Wanted to
yes,
see after
yes,
Love,
which,
Simon. Yeah.
Exactly, and I appreciate that because it is so not a big deal. If anything, her quest is to kind of like make out with like a girl for the night, and like no one is giving her shit whatsoever about that. If anything, her parents, played by Will Forte and Lisa Kudrow, are so open to it that like it's just super goofy, the things they say. I like that aspect. I wish she got a better
arc.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wish that goal of making out with a girl was a little more, just gave me a little something more. It doesn't give me much.
Okay.
So I'll just say it that, you know, I'll leave it at that. But add it to your list. I recommend it. You'll have a good time. I also just wonder, am I too old for these kinds of movies? You know? I don't know. I feel like after a while, I'm like, okay, we got it. Like, it's a goofy, crazy night. Like, when are we going to do something else? But, yeah. So, check out Booksmart. And then my other item, oh my gosh, loved. This is a must add to your list. And it is a crazy movie. So, bear with me. But Netflix has just released a movie called The Perfection. It is straight up horror, sci-fi, insanity. So I know some of our listeners don't love horror. So, you know, I would say I'll give you a little mini warning because this movie is pretty twisted. Greg and I watched it. Greg, I think you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stars Allison Williams of Girls fame, and she's really quite good.
And Get Out.
And Get Out, of course. And I honestly will say Allison Williams, when she was on Girls, she was fine, but it was kind of like blah. She is choosing some interesting stuff in her career. After Get Out, and this is so interesting. It had its premiere at Fantastic Fest last year. It stars her, Logan Browning, a beautiful actress who I'm not super familiar with, but she's great, and Steven Weber, who has done a lot of things over the years. He was in the Shining TV movie. Wow, guys. I don't want to give much away because this movie has twist upon twist upon twist, but it is sort of, I'll give you the beginning premise because the whole plot changes quite a lot. It's kind of like, right? It's kind of like a Black Swan-like story where it's set in the music world. So Allison Williams plays a cellist who had to give up her dreams of playing music because her mom got very, very sick. And so at a young age, like in her teens, she had to help her mom. So she kind of lost her chance at becoming world famous in the music world. Now, a few years later, she's in her, I'd say mid-20s. There is a new girl, and that's Logan Browning, who is a little bit younger than her, who is a fantastic cello player, very in demand. And so Allison Williams' character has sort of tracked her down, and with the help of their mutual teacher, played by Steven Weber, here begins sort of a competition / romance. So there is some lesbian love in, and it's
Look at the lesbian theme.
Yes,
it
fits our Pride Month episode, and it gets kind of hot and heavy. I gotta say, there's no real nudity, but I mean, these girls were going for it.
I mean, not blue is the warmest color.
No, not
right?
That.
Right,
there was no fake vagine, but they were going for it. But guys, that romance spirals into something, and I don't want to say much. The trailer, if you've seen the trailer, it's hard because the trailer, I think, is an awesome trailer, but it does give some stuff away, and I feel like this movie is best if you don't know much at all. So just know it's a romance turned twisted little crazy story, and it does get pretty intense. So, ooh, the dogs are fighting. Ooh. Wow. They are
we're having the perfection.
Yes,
right,
the
here.
Perfection is right here. Perfection. See, they were loving each other and now not so much. So that's your little teaser. So, guys, I recommend it. I love it. I feel like you two will love it.
I can't wait to watch it.
It's the kind of bonkers movie that as you're watching it, it's never bad, but it's kind of like, "Oh my god, what's going on?" But by the end, it all makes sense. Every little thing they did, every visual makes sense. So,
okay.
I loved it, guys. It's wacky. It's not for everyone. So, I totally understand if some people are going to watch it and they're going to be like, I'm turning this off. It's gross. It's hard to watch at times, but it's also so it's kind of odd and zany that you got to just stick with it because that last shot of the movie, yes.
Wild.
What'd you think, Greg? You liked it.
Yeah, last shot in the movie was unlike anything you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yes.
And it totally made sense.
Mm-hmm. Everything comes together.
Mm-hmm. Full frontal male nudity.
Oh, true.
Kind of blurry. It was wild.
Yeah.
It was great. And when you hover over it on Netflix, you are kind of pissed because you're like, they gave everything away in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they give away seems like a fully formed movie from start to end.
Yes.
But that's only just like that's the only, first yeah. 20 minutes of the movie. So, yeah, it's pretty wild.
A lot of layers, yeah. I have to give it to... It's directed by Richard Shepard and written by Shepard, Nicole Snyder, and Eric C. Charmello. Guys, good story. Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of put off a little bit by the, like, kind of whack CGI. But that actually
there's a reason
makes
for it.
Sense
yes.
to the movie.
Yeah. There are moments where you're kind of like, this sort of feels a little like TV movie.
Yeah.
But it all, I'm telling you guys, it all comes together. Yeah. You'll see. I don't want to say anything more. Watch it. The perfection. So that doesn't add this to your list.
Yeah. It's not as good as Wine Country, but.
pretty different than Wine Country, but, you know, better in different ways. So, guys, before we wrap up that list, we, like I mentioned, my good friend Melissa, who is a fan of the podcast, Nurse Mel, has some things to say about Game of Thrones and the show Dead to Me, which a lot of you are raving about, and here she is with her thoughts.
Hey, guys, Melissa here. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and a longtime friend of Mr. Mark J. Parker, and Mark and I were talking recently about my obsession with Game of Thrones. I'm what you would call a super fan, and he asked me to kind of share my two cents on the final episode, the final season, etc. Even though you guys don't watch, I know it's pretty hard to avoid the news about it. Most fans are pretty disappointed with the final season, the final episode, and I have to agree with those fans that are disappointed. The season was just way too rushed. It wasn't... It didn't justify... The ending didn't justify the show. With that said, though, I would still say it's an absolute add this to your list. I think it's one of the best shows in the last 20 years just because they didn't land the final season or episode doesn't mean that it's not a great show. It still is, and it's still worth watching till the end. I mean, even though the writing pretty much sucked, the producers, writers just wanted to move on with their lives and start Star Wars, which was very clear. The acting is still superb, the music, the score, it's still better than 90% of the television out there. And, you know, all hope is not lost because we still have the book endings to look forward to, which any Thrones fan will tell you that the earlier seasons, which were still based on the books, were far superior than the newer seasons in which they didn't have the source material. So something to look forward to. And unfortunately, all good things must come to an end. So I've had to move on with my life. I started watching Netflix's Dead to Me. I watched the first episode and thought it was a skip that shit. And then I talked to some people at work who said, oh no, it's so good, watch more, blah, blah, blah. I decided to, you know, try it, at least the second episode. And I will say it is an add this to your list. The twists are continuing to unfold in each episode, and I really like them. What happened with the first episode was I thought the twist was a little, I wasn't surprised by it, and I was also kind of disappointed it was going in that direction. But the later episodes have really impressed me, and I like that it's continuing to surprise me. So add it to your list. It's a great summer show. Christina Applegate is awesome in it, and James Marsden is as attractive as ever. So that's my two cents. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Mel, for that. It's not add this to your list without one female voice in this group of boys. So there you go. So with all that, let's recap. That list was, we had Chernobyl, Pink in concert, Jailbirds, Booksmart, and The Perfection were all add this to your list. We had a skip that shit with Brightburn. Sorry, yeah. Brightburn.
Womp womp.
Yeah, womp womp.
I haven't even seen one. Ad
for you haven't?
Oh no, it's been promoted.
It's been all over my Insta and Facebook. I see so many social ads. No. And then a little bonus was some Game of Thrones and some Dead to Me. And of course, Carly Rae Jepsen. Love your album, Carly. Mm-hmm. And that's it for our list, but the episode is not over. We are now getting into Pride Month, and it's time to talk about our favorite, kind of most important LGBTQ movies, TV shows that all had a lasting impression on us. We are four gays, and it's time for us to talk about things that, you know, really had an effect on us. So, Tom, why don't you lead us? What is on your
gay list.
Okay, so you know me. I consume as many gay things as possible. Oh, so this yes. was oh, really hard.
Oh, boy.
Whether it's movies, TV shows, books, albums, whatever. I mean, I am always trying to consume the queer. So this was difficult for me to come up with, but the movie that I'm going to say had a first lasting impression on me ever was Brokeback Mountain. And oddly enough, I saw that when I was 18 or 19 with my girlfriend in New York City when it was still in limited release. I took her and I was like, she thought, you know, that me being an artsy film guy, that I just wanted to see it because it was
a
buzzed about awards film movie. But she was a trooper. She went with me. I just remember being totally taken by the story. I mean, also because I'm a cowboy, duh.
Duh,
so
Connecticut
cowboy.
I have
a story about two gay cowboys, and you've got my attention. But yeah, I just remember that movie having such heart and taking you back to what it must have been like, not only to be gay during that time in the 1960s, but to be gay in the 1960s in a really conservative state where it just was not okay, not accepted. Really moving performances
haunting.
By both Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal. Mm-hmm. I think Heath was better than Jake.
Interesting. See, Heath was good, but Jake, something about Jake, I don't know. They all, and even the girls, Anne Hathaway.
Oh, Michelle and Anne were great.
Michelle, when she sees them, like, kissing and hugging outside, and her eyes, and then Anne, when she's on the phone.
Yes.
When she realizes Jake is dead.
Yeah, it's actually unfair that Anne Hathaway wasn't nominated, and all the other and the three others were. I don't get it. I forget what else was out that
funny
year.
Funny, out of all, well, Heath has an Oscar now, but Anne has an Oscar, and the other two don't.
Right. So. Michelle will be getting some.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
And so will Jake someday, yeah. I think also what hurt her was, remember when, iconically, they all were on Oprah, and Oprah, like, shut Anne up. Do you remember that?
No.
Really? Oh, yeah. They were all on Oprah promoting the movie, and Oprah said, "So, Anne, I couldn't tell. Did your character know that your husband was gay?" And Anne said, "Well, I think it was pretty obvious, yeah." And Oprah said, "I didn't think it was obvious. That's why I asked you."
Oh, shit.
It was awkward. We had to watch it after this. It was
really
so
awkward.
And then Anne knows she shouldn't have said that and then is stuttering. And Oprah is not smiling. And, and Michelle, Jake, and Heath all give each other a look like they are so over Anne. And they're just looking at each other like, get me out of here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was awkward. So I feel like that sort of sealed the deal. That Anne, this won't be your year for a nomination.
Wow. That movie.
That phone call when she gets it and she knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, her face is like stone. It's like unmoving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good. So sad. Yeah.
So that's the movie for me. What about you guys?
Totally. Jeff, what do you have?
I'd say a relatively recent one, Love, Simon.
So good.
I think it was, it was well written, had the heartfelt moments of Simon coming out to his parents. But I think one of the biggest things for me was seeing it in a, I guess it was probably a half full audience, but the audience reaction. Yeah. Like at the end when they got together and they were on the Ferris wheel and the audience was applauding.
Mm.
I was just, as a gay man, seeing that acceptance, and it was just pretty wild. So it was. It was a really good.
It
was. Our age.
High
school
kids.
Really
like a standing ovation.
Yeah, it was. Wow. I think that drove me to some emotion as well. So
it's
really
a romance that doesn't matter. Like at that point, if it's gay or straight, like you just want the main guy
to
get
find
what he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. Greg, what do you have for us?
Well, I've heard that I'm not allowed to talk about Call Me on this podcast.
That's true. Well, Greg did want to talk about Call Me by Your Name, of course, which we all, I think all four of us had a, we really have love for that movie. That really...
So much
I
love.
Mean, yeah.
Love,
so
love,
Tom
love.
And I have talked a lot about it. It was on Tom's best list of 2017. The sequel of the book is coming out, and then the sequel of the movie, I guess, will come out. So we all want to quick say, thank you for that we, of course, love that movie. The ending, that romance, wow. I mean, So, yeah, do you want to quick give that a little love and then go into your other?
Well, I would just say Call Me By Your Name was the first movie I ever watched where afterwards I felt this shift in myself, where I felt like I was a different person after I watched it. Like, I viewed the world differently through a different lens after I watched that movie. And I just remember, like, laying in bed after that and feeling like a different person. Like, it was just...
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Like, it was a total...
shift in my soul.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I liked it. What I was going to say, though, was actually Real World New Orleans.
Yes.
Tom just got a boner because I mentioned New Orleans.
Yes! Laissez la bon.
And we're in the recording. Yeah. Yes,
we are in the New Orleans room.
We're in the New Orleans room, fleur de lis. But with Danny.
Yes.
Danny
was like iconic back
yeah,
then.
Danny from,
yeah, I remember that.
From mm-hmm. Real World New Orleans. I mean, Melissa was also a queer ally. Mm. Which was really refreshing to see on TV. But Danny was, I think, the first representation of a gay person in reality TV that wasn't based around like a sexualized or sexually charged representation of what a gay person was. Mm. He was dealing with very real world situations. No pun. But he was with somebody who was in the military. And
I remember the blurred face.
Right, in the blurred face.
Oh, yes! And, yeah, now it's all coming back to me.
And they had to meet in private. And it was very serious. And if this person was found out, you know, if this person was found to be gay, they would be fired and kicked out of the military and had their life ruined and all this sort of stuff. So Danny was dealing with all of that. And also, he just had to sit there and be poked and prodded by his other castmates who just wanted to know, you know, more about him under the bright lights of the show and under the, with the cameras and everything. So that was the first time that I ever remember watching a gay person on television who I could actually understand, who I could actually, like, commiserate with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that season of The Real World was very memorable. I remember Danny was just not only very charming and cute, but, like, you really saw a real-world example of a guy dealing with being gay. Yeah. So my last kind of addition to this discussion is this great movie from 20 years ago that really had an effect on me called Get Real. Not to be confused with, speaking of Anne Hathaway, not to be confused with a TV show called Get Real with Anne Hathaway and Jesse Eisenberg. Did you ever watch that?
No.
It was a short-lived TV show that got their stars on the rise. But no, Get Real was a 1998 British movie directed by Simon Shore. For a while there, it was on TV a lot, but it was so charming and likable, and it was very much... it just was very real and funny, but also extremely emotional and kind of scary because it followed a nerdy kind of skinny gay guy who had a major crush on a, you know, athlete, a teen athlete in his school, a peer, who was not like him at all. But you found out that the jock was gay as well, and they like each other. Oh my god!
What world is a jock a gay person?
I know.
My
and this
god.
This jock who was the actors were Ben Silverstone and Brad Gordon. I think Brad Gordon. He was like a Christian Bale Jr. It was like crazy. This was at a time when like American Psycho had just come out. They looked exactly alike, but just their chemistry was so great because they're not at all alike. And then you find out that you know they're both gay and into each other. And
comedy or drama?
Kind of both. It's very much a dramedy because the main character played by Ben Silverstone, Steven, he has a great, funny, good girlfriend who keeps the comedy going and she's very likable. She's a little overweight, so she has her own kind of insecurities.
Ew.
Boo. You have to be nice. But I just loved it so much, guys. Get Real. If you haven't watched it, please do because it's just...
I've never heard of
you've
it.
You've never heard of it?
Do I lose my gay card?
Yes, bitch. It's actually... I'm seeing on Wiki. I'm shocked, actually, Tom, because it was on TV for a while. Like, I caught it on
sounds,
TV.
It sounds... The way... I don't know if I'm, like, picture... I feel like it sounds familiar from the way you describe
yes,
the synopsis.
Like, this is, like, the cover. Very British.
Oh, no.
But oh my god, just they're you are rooting for them, and it's hard because they're on opposite sides of you know the hierarchy at school. But they are very much kind of in love. It's high school love, and they fall for each other, and you know, their friends, well, at least the main boy's friend knows about it and, you know, is praying that it goes well, because usually these things don't. And it's actually based on a play I just learned just a few minutes before, you know, recording. It's based on a play called What's Wrong With Angry. What's Wrong With Angry?
Interesting.
Yeah. So check it out if you can. It's so worth the watch. Just, you know, gay life in high school. Kind of like Love, Simon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is our little, you know, Pride Month movie TV list. We had The Real World. We had Get Real. We had Love, Simon. And we had
Brokeback Mountain.
Duh, the cream of the crop. There we go. So before we wrap up, real quickly, just keeping along with the theme of, you know, gay roles, gay movies, we wanted to quickly chat, have a little in-depth discussion about gay and trans roles. So obviously we're seeing a lot more of these on TV, film, in theater. There are a lot of gay characters, a lot of trans characters. Now, who should be playing these characters? Now, I think Tom and Jeff are okay with straight actors playing these roles, maybe. I know Greg has said to me, like, why aren't gay actors playing gay roles? So we kind of wanted to open up to all four of us here, and then listeners, you know, chime in with us, you know, on social. Let us know what you think. But Tom and Jeff, what do you think about this?
Here's my answer. Whoever tests the best for the part.
Interesting. Okay. Okay.
Right? Just like a job interview. Yeah. Whoever interviews the best should get the role.
Now, even for trans roles?
No, that one gets a little harder.
See, that's tricky.
I feel like with gay or lesbian roles, it's okay. But I feel like with trans roles, you really want to have a transgender person, particularly because that group is so oppressed right now in this current political times.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Greg, about this?
Well, I think if the role is for a trans person, then a trans person should play the role.
Mm-hmm. What about gay?
I mean, Jamie Foxx is playing George Jefferson, right?
Right.
And that makes sense because George Jefferson is black.
Right.
And what was your question?
What about, like, gay roles? Gay and lesbian roles? Same thing?
Well, I think it makes sense to have a gay person playing. I mean, on Will and Grace, the gay roles are played by gay men.
Well, Eric McCormick is straight, but Sean Hayes.
Okay, oh, well, good point.
He's very good.
But gay. You know, Sean...
Sean Hayes.
Sean Hayes, and it's not Cheyenne Jackson, is it?
Matt Bomas.
Sorry.
Close.
Bomer, I mean, these are gay men, right, playing gay roles.
Mm-hmm. And you feel like that adds an authenticity?
That girl from Orange is the New Black, she's playing a lesbian on that show.
Samira Wiley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's gay.
And she's gay in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
So you feel like, yeah, I sort of agree here. It's kind of like,
I just feel like there's plenty of gay men to choose from.
Even if they're not big names. Like, even there's men and lesbians and...
Yeah, but I read something... I saw something online recently that somebody took a screenshot of a article that was talking about how Marvel is rolling the dice with casting two unknowns. And one was Chris Hemsworth. Oh. And the other was Tom...
Hiddleston.
Uh-huh. Whoever plays Loki.
Yeah.
Is that someone Hiddleston?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, now they're not unknown, but at that point they were. So at some point you do need to give people their break. And when I don't think it matters. Like, if they're not known, like, if the role is for a gay person, give it to a gay person.
Jeff, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's who, like you said, Tom, I agree with you. Who's ever best for the job? It's acting.
So you're okay if straight man or woman. Yeah. Okay.
And vice versa. I think gay men and women should be playing straight
guys. Yes. That I definitely agree with. Yeah.
There are instances where gay men are typecast, though.
It's hard because I kind of look at it both ways. Like, if it's a couple in a movie, let's say it is Brokeback, or even though we all love Call Me By Your Name, technically those two actors were both straight. It might have been really great if one of them was really gay or bisexual. Like, that would be interesting. I don't know. And same with, like, Moonlight. Like, that was a great movie, but I think both of those actors, well, and even their younger, you know, versions, but the adult actors, I think, were both straight. So it's hard because, yeah, you want a good performance, but there is a nice authenticity to having someone, especially trans. I feel like trans...
Yeah, like, Pose would not work with a cisgender actor.
Unless it's like a role like in, you know, transparent or something, where it's someone who is still physically one way, and before they've started transitioning, maybe. But like Pose, well, a lot of these other things, it's like, no, you need to get, and even then, you might want to really get someone who is kind of on the verge of going through the process of transitioning.
Well, how did you feel about Jared Leto playing trans in
Dallas.
Dallas Buyers Club?
Yeah, but, he won but an was he Oscar. Trans? Was he trans in that?
Or was he just sort of a cross-dresser?
I think he was cross-dresser.
That's an interesting, I don't know. Because I was going to say at the time...
I think the media pushed it as him being trans, it might not have been.
At the time, I was fine with it, and I thought he was great. You know, I think maybe nowadays that role would have gone to someone totally different, maybe? I don't know.
Which is why the Matt Bomer movie where he plays a trans person maybe never really got its release date. It didn't see the light of day.
What is that? Do we know what it's called?
It was supposed to come out like a year ago, and
I don't know. It's hard in that kind of role. But here's the thing, and Greg kind of brought it up, and that's kind of how I think of it as well. It's like the whole flack that Scarlett Johansson got a few years ago.
That I agree with. You cannot have somebody
race. So race, you want to stick with certain races. But so why with being gay or straight, why when it comes to that do we want to be a little loose? You know what I mean? With black, Asian, we want to find those black and Asian actors. So why and trans?
It's visual.
It's a physical.
So here's the thing. So trans falls into the visual category of kind of like race, where you want to get the physical characteristics, whereas gay and straight, it's kind of like it could be kind of anyone.
Well, and it's like the gay and straight, there's such a wide spectrum on the queer spectrum in and of itself. You know, there's just... Some people are overtly gay and some people are not, and you can't really pigeonhole it. Mm. So who's to say if someone looks
gay, true. Or lesbian, yeah, you know? That's the thing. Yeah, there is no real look to it. I mean, you know, you can change it up with hair and makeup and all that stuff. It's kind of like, I never saw Freeheld with Julianne Moore and Ellen Page, but I thought that was...
Yeah,
did you see it?
That.
I didn't get a chance to see it. It was fine, right? It wasn't, I think, kind of fizzled, but at least that casting I thought was pretty cool, that you have Julianne who's straight, but you have Ellen who's gay.
Yeah.
So I feel like that right there is sort of a powerful casting duo, where you at least have both perspectives playing gay.
Now, interestingly, we talked recently about the Billy Eichner rom-com that he's working with what's his name?
Yeah, who's going to be in it with him?
No one. Oh. We don't know yet, but we were saying Ryan Reynolds.
We were saying Ryan Reynolds. Really and I would be okay, because Billy's gay, that I think that is okay. What do you think? If Billy Eichner's going to do a gay rom-com.
With Judd Apatow, directed by Judd Apatow.
Yes, Judd Apatow's involved. Mm. Do you think whoever is his love interest should be gay, or are you open to... someone who is really straight playing gay, as long as you have one, as long as Billy, as long as the lead of the movie is gay in real life. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it would be great if the other person who's in the movie was actually gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I mean, there's so many gay actors out there. You can find one. You don't have to choose, you know, one of the Chris's in order to make a movie. Mm-hmm. You know,
what do you think?
What do you
think Billy Eichner's partner should be? Oh, well, you already made your point.
Yeah,
you're okay with
that. If they're
a
good actor, I think they can play anything. Yeah, I do agree though with the appearance thing. I think Asian versus like,
right.
Like, yeah, Scarlett Johansson playing Asian was
right.
Ridiculous.
And same with like remember when Emma Stone was Asian in that Aloha movie that no one saw? Yeah,
but didn't Tilda play Asian?
Yes, in Doctor Strange. Yeah. So you know, everyone. Has there.
And that was a big problem for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's interesting. Race and trans, it's like, absolutely no. I need the real... Like, I was talking to a actor acquaintance a couple weeks ago who was livid. Sorry, I don't know if he listens, but it was kind of a little crazy. Livid that he saw a casting breakdown for an actor needed for a trans role of someone transitioning, but it said in all caps... must be trans. And I've written those words on casting notices for the show I work on. Must really be trans. I want to really find a real trans person to play this role authentically. He was livid. He said it should go to whoever plays the role best. Who cares if it's a, you know, cisgender? I'm like, everyone cares right now. You know what I mean? So it's interesting that with trans and race, that's clear cut. But gay is not so clear cut. So... I don't know if it's... I don't think it's a bad thing. I think...
Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see that conversation unfold more.
Right, yeah. Because I feel like we will be talking more about this, since people are going to start, I think, finding their place on, not that this is an argument, just on each side of the discussion, that it's yeah. like, and Greg's falling asleep.
No, I don't think it's required that the person be gay, but it would be great.
It would just be a nice bonus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see. I don't know. That's our, you tell us listeners how you feel about this, because I think it's an interesting convo, because I have a feeling most people are open to whoever playing gay and lesbian roles. You know what I mean? But you never know. Well, that was episode 66 of Add This to Your List. Anyone want to add anything else before we sign off?
Nope.
No? You good? Okay, and with that, that is the end. That is a wrap on episode 66, our Pride Month episode. Happy Pride, everyone. June has just begun. If you're gay, if you're straight, whatever, go out and march with everyone. It's 50 years of Pride since Stonewall.
We will see you at the parade.
We will see you at the parade. Yeah. The next time we record, hopefully if all goes well, all three co-hosts of Add This to Your List, Fumi, Tom, and Mark will all be together along with our husbands,
live.
Jeff and Greg, live from Connecticut again with our Connecticut Cowboys.
I'm going to start charging.
Yeah, right? But in the meantime, thank you so much. Keep following us on social for some behind-the-scenes pictures of this recording sesh, because it's pretty Ooh. Fun. Please leave us a review. Leave us a rating on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play and Stitcher. And I think that's it. Thank you, Greg, who is in person tonight. Thank you for our logo. Thank you, Jay and Allie, for the music we use. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, puppies. I don't, our puppies are sleeping
They're
now.
They're sleeping.
Okay,
They're
thank
along.
God. They're getting along now. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
We'll be right back.